So I do have a presentation that is on the angels. And the reason why is because I was asked to speak about the angels when I came here. And it wasn't like, oh man, I don't like speaking about the angels. I was like, yes, because I love speaking about the angels. They are amazing. And so we're going to talk about that. Now, this will probably bring up questions. If you really, really have to ask a question, feel free to do so. But at the end of the presentation, there will be a time for questions. Are there any more announcements or thoughts before we pray? Why don't we pray together and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, it is good to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity to meet together. We have had a nice time already some of us in another location, or many of us actually in other locations. Now we've gathered this afternoon. We want to be able to rejoice together in your holy word. Thank you for this opportunity. It has been mentioned that we are at the end of time. We do believe that, and it is very sobering, but it is also very exciting. It's good to be right now alive, where even the apostles and prophets didn't know what it was going to look like. We can go outside and look around. This is what it looks like right before the final crisis in this world. We ask that you'd please guide us as we're able to study now. Please help us to be able to not only just see the words, but to be transformed by them. We ask that you would glorify yourself in this time that we're together. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Right. So, while I was in Nepal and in India, I was able to share with, we calculated, 250 pastors. Amen. Wow. These people were from Pentecostal, Lutheran, Baptist backgrounds. Wow. And almost, I would say 97% of them were from those denominations, mostly Pentecostal.
Any other?
Three. And these people were really hungry to understand God's word. They were so excited to know what it was that God was saying. And one of the things we would share with them was the concept of the angels. And the reason being is that the angels aren't very well understood, for one, but also it's the way God is organizing and running his government, right? And so when we have, as Christians all the way around the world, we have learned falsely that God uses a third being in his ministry that is something that the Bible doesn't teach, as though it's the Spirit that has some kind of in and of itself ministry without the service of others, like humans and angels and those types of things. It undermines the previous understanding of false theology and idolatry and helps them to understand better what it is the Bible is teaching. So this was a real nice way to enter into the subject of how the Holy Spirit works. Amen. And then we were able to describe the Antichrist and some other things, the truth about God, and they were able to see it with eyes wide open. It was awesome. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the only time the book of Revelation uses the word revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus. We know that in the book of Revelation, there are animals, there are beasts, there's one with seven heads, there's another one that's different color with seven heads. There's a harlot woman that sits on that beast with seven heads. There's wilderness, there's cities, there's Babylon, there's destruction, the Armageddon. All these things are in the book of Revelation, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what's important. And we can see all the way through the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is all underlying, all above, all around this entire book. But let's see what happens here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave unto him. So Jesus, he has this revelation. Imagine him holding it in his hands because the Father had given it to him. And it was to show unto his servants, we know that Amos chapter 3 says that his servants are the prophets, Jesus was to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he, Jesus, the one with the gospel, the revelation rather, he sent and signified it by what? His angel unto his servant John. Revelation 22 verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel unto the churches to testify unto you the things that will come to pass. So Jesus has an angel. It's mine angel. According to the Desire of Ages 99.1, his name is Gabriel. Okay? And so Christ's angel, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So now what happened in this verse is God the Father has a revelation. He gives it over to his son. his son takes and hands it to an angel to deliver it to John. What does John do with it? He writes a testimony, a record, as it says in verse 2, and he sends it out to the seven churches, which is somebody that you are. And you're part of the church, right? And so you take the message that you got from John, who he got from the angel, who he got from Jesus, who he got from God the Father, and your job is to send it to the world. And so we're part of this whole government of God, which is starting with the Father, to the Son, to the angel, to the prophet, to us, and then to others. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And so you can see that all through the Bible. Now, before I understood the subject of the angels, I wasn't able to see it. It was all this third being, the spirit that doesn't exist. And anybody watching on the video, if you study the phrase, God, the Holy Spirit, you will not find it anywhere, right? I actually think that video camera was shifted by somebody. So here we have this idea that Jesus has the revelation. It's about him, but he got it from his Father. He gives it to an angel. The angel gives it to the prophet, and the prophet gives it to us, right? So now we see this in the New Testament. What about the Old Testament? Notice what it says. It came to pass when I, what's the next word? Daniel. This is the prophet Daniel. I had seen the vision, which, by the way, Revelation 19 and 22 tells us that revelations and visions come to us through the ministration of angels. Okay? So I had seen the vision, and I sought for the meaning. Did Daniel understand what it meant?
No.
No, he was seeking for the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Right? So Gabriel, what does he do? So he came, Gabriel came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and I fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So Gabriel is telling Daniel to understand something. Understand what? The vision. Well, who told Gabriel to instruct Daniel? Exactly, the Father. Now, it was the Father through the Son, right? Because all things are of the Father, all things are by the Son. And so what we're going to do is learn that in this government of God, there is one God. And who is the one God, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6?
Father.
It's the Father. And there is one mediator between God and fallen men. That one God and fallen men, the mediator is? Jesus Christ, the righteous, which we also know as the advocate, which we know is the comforter.
Yes.
Amen. So there's one God, one mediator between God and men. It's not one mediator that is God that works with men. It's one mediator between God and men. It's the man Christ Jesus. Notice it's not the Son of God. But it is. What it's specifically saying is it's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, right? Or Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. And the reason being is he had to live as a man to be able to succor those that were tempted. And as a result of living as a man, he now is a mediator between God, because he is divine, and man, because he has been tempted. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, according to James, right? Is that what it says? So now, if we've seen it in the New Testament that God the Father gives the revelation to his Son, that gives it to an angel to give to the prophet, can we see it also in the Old Testament? Yes, because we saw that the Father gave something to the Son as the only mediator, giving it to Gabriel, sending it down to Daniel, right? How does that work? Let's notice what happened in a vision that Jacob had in Genesis 28. He, Jacob, lighted upon a certain place. He tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and he put them for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, all the way touching the earth. And the top of it reached all the way to heaven, not even one fragment short. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it. Ascended. So you see, the angels are actually going up and down upon this ladder. And it says, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, so there is a Lord speaking, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So here's a question. What does this mean? We know that the ladder is there, reaching all the way to the earth, reaching all the way to heaven, and the angels are ascending and descending upon it. What did Jesus understand that ladder to represent? We'll find it right here in John chapter 1:51. He said unto him, this is Nathanael, "Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder." Is that what he said?
Son of man.
No, but that's what he meant. So the Son of Man means the ladder, right? The ladder means the Son of Man. In a symbolic vision that Jacob had, the ladder represents the Son of Man, who is the only mediator between heaven and earth. Why heaven? Because he's divine. He is the Son of God. And why on the earth? Because he's human. He's the son of a Virgin Mary, right? And I do believe in the virgin birth. And so you have this ascending and descending that is not symbolic, according to Jesus. Because Jacob, he had this vision of angels ascending and descending, right? That's all right. And so Jesus, he comes over and he says, you will see angels ascending and descending. He didn't use that part of the vision as symbolic to interpret it over here. He used the ladder to interpret over here, and the ladder represents something other than just a ladder. It's the Son of Man as the mediator between God and men. So now, back up for a second, and when it says here, the Lord stood above it and said, if Jesus represents the ladder and the angels are ascending upon the Son of Man, who is the Lord standing at the top speaking?
The Father,
exactly. And so when you said that the Father was the one that spoke, absolutely. In the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, the Father speaks, giving it to the Son gives it to the angel gives it to the prophet gives it to us. Amen?
Amen.
And so this idea of the Father standing above, speaking, by the way, that means that the Father is the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac as well. Just to let you know. Jesus made that clear too. So this part of the vision that Jesus referred to in the book of Genesis 28, what is the context saying? Is the context saying a similar thing right here in John as what we saw going on in Genesis 28 with the ladder and the vision of the angels ascending and descending with the voice of God the Father speaking from the top, which is what the angels were ascending and descending with, which was the message of the Father, right? Let's see. Go back up a few verses to 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip even called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And he was like, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these." What's the next verse? The next verse explains the greater things. "Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What does this mean? I believe this means, now you can study it for yourself and come to a different conclusion, but this seems clear to me. Jesus just told Nathanael, "I knew where you were before I even saw you." He's like, "Whoa, how'd you do that?" He says, "You believe because of that? Let me explain something that'll blow your mind. Angels of heaven will ascend and descend upon the Son of Man." In other words, how did he know?
He's omniscient.
What does the Bible say there? What is the context?
Angels
of God were ascending and descending upon the Son of Man and were able to bring the message to the Son of Man from God the Father about what Nathanael was praying about. And how did those prayers ascend to heaven, by the way? If you search in the writings of Ellen White, the phrase ascending and descending, or recording angel, or recording angels, you will find that your prayers, every one of them, ascends to heaven because of the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, the only mediator between God and men. And what does the only mediator use? Angels. Why? Because he's in heaven. Now, if yes, it's because he's in heaven, and he doesn't leave his body every time you pray to run down and hear you to run back up. He's got angels ascending and descending, and Ezekiel chapter 1 says they go back and forth like lightning. Not just there like lightning and then back as lightning. Back and forth as lightning.
That's why they're called messengers.
That's exactly why they're called messengers. The word angel means messenger. What are they doing? They're delivering the message of the Father to fallen men. How? Through the mediation of the Son of God, the Son of Man. Isn't that amazing?
And on the other side, they're taking our messages back to heaven.
Yes, exactly. And that's if I do have those notes online if you're interested. I've got it at revelationwithdaniel.com. You can go and search the phrase angels studies, and you'll find a list of 26, I think, studies I've got in different subcategories about the angels. And one of them is ascending and descending. Another one is recording angels. And there's a bunch of other ones in there you might find interesting. So let's see now that this concept of Jesus saying you'll see angels and descending upon the Son of Man is the same idea of what happened in the story of Jacob in the dream, where God the Father was speaking, angels were ascending and descending, and the message came to Jacob. Right? That's what happened here. God the Father spoke, angels were ascending and descending, and Jesus heard the message. And he was telling Nathanael about that, the way that Christ understood ministry. And that's why, just a few days earlier, Jesus was in the wilderness, and this is what happened. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, if you believe your Father's voice that you just heard a few days ago, command that these stones be made bread." In other words, use your divinity to help your humanity. And Christ was like, no. Okay? He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." There's much I could say about this. I'm going to try to get to a point. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If you are the Son of God," again, challenging him about what he heard just a few days before, "cast yourself down, for you know, it is written, he," that's the Father, "he will give his angels charge concerning you," Jesus, "and in their hands," the angels that is, "they shall bear you up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So what is the devil doing here but using the ministry of angels, which Jesus understood and believed? He's using the concept of the ministry of angels to try to deceive Christ, to deceive him to think that God the Father sent Satan to this specific situation, right? It wasn't unusual that Christ would think that an angel would come, or else the devil would have tried another trick. But Jesus knew he was divine. And so the devil was saying, "If you are the Son of God." Jesus knew that angels would come. And so the angel was saying, "Well, yeah, God said that angels would come and they would help you out. And I just carried you. And just like that, God the Father said it would happen. So here I am," right? And so what's going on is the devil is using what Christ knew to be true to try to deceive him by twisting the circumstances. So what happens? Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. By the way, this is an example of a false demonstration, or rather a deceitful demonstration of the spirit of prophecy. Okay? That's what that is. Angels reveal things to people as revelations from God. They accept them, write them down. They're called prophets. They give them to us. Now, what's happening here is an angel is revealing something to Christ that he is supposed to record somehow, either in his mind or writing down, whatever. And if he shared that, it would be a demonstration of a deceitful spirit of prophecy. Okay, so that's what the devil's doing here. He's trying to use what God is doing and has done through all history, sending angels with messages to prophets, and he's trying to do that. Okay, so he's showing him all these exceeding amazing visions, just like Daniel saw and Zechariah and all these other people in the Old Testament saw these visions, and he's given it to Christ. Here you go. Anyways, you can go further on that in your own time. He said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. By the way, the Lord God there is the Father. Thou shalt worship the Father, and him only shalt thou serve. How do we serve him? Through his Son. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Christ isn't leaving himself out there. We understand that. Now, so what's happening in this situation, beyond all the things that could be talked about, Jesus is being tempted face to face by a fallen angel. That's what's happening here, right? He is being tempted face to face with the highest authority in the angelic agencies.
Archangel Lucifer.
He is Lucifer, that's right. And so what do you think God would send to help his own son, his most precious son, in this situation where he is tempted personally by Satan himself? What do you think he would send? Watch what it says. The very next verse. The devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So when Christ was at the point of breaking, he hadn't eaten for 40 days, okay? He was tempted by Satan himself. And God the Father sent an angel to help him. Wow. Yeah, oh, angels. Thank you, plural. So now, at the end of Christ's life, when he was withdrawn from his disciples about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. In other words, I don't want this. This is against my nature. I don't want it. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want be done. Amen? Amen? That's how we have to be. We have to come to this point, like no matter what happens, we have to say, it's got to be God's will. And so right when Christ was at this point of almost breaking, he was ready to give up the entire plan of salvation. What did God send? And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Yeah. The very next verse in Luke 22. And so what we have is God revealing messages through angels. God helping people understand, like Daniel, understand thou son of man, through angels. The Father's voice being delivered to Jacob in a vision through angels. We have Christ being ministered to after he had not eaten for 40 days by angels. We have Christ being encouraged and strengthened by angels. Genesis 18, verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. It says in verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So what's happening here is in this verse, three men are coming. They're called men, right? According to this section of the Bible. But look at what happens in the very next chapter, 19, verse 1. It says, there came two angels to Sodom. And we know, if you've read the story, that the three men were together. They ate with Abram. And then the Lord, the one being worshipped, which is Jesus, he sent those two men, the angels, over to Sodom and Gomorrah. Here it actually mentions them as angels. Now, what happens with these angels? That's the big question. Why are these angels sent? They are specifically sent because God wants to save Lot in answer to Lot's prayers. Okay? What does he do? He sends Christ and angels. Amen? God the Father couldn't minister to men anymore personally. Why? Because man had sinned. And Isaiah 52 verse 2 says that sin separates us from God. And therefore, God couldn't interact with man anymore. But he could have the promise of a soon coming Savior, which we know in Genesis 3:15 was given. And so based on that promise, he was able to minister to fallen man through Christ and angels. We can see that right here. Christ and angels were here together with Abram and Sodom and Gomorrah is being discussed. What happens? In verse 15, notice what it says. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed and in the iniquity of the city." So what's happening? These angels are actually warning the people that have prayed. And so angels are instructed not only to encourage, to strengthen, to help, to teach, all these things that we've seen the principles of already. Right here, they're actually warning them of destruction to come. And so then what happens? God being so merciful, that's Lot, he lingered. And the men, those are the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. The angels physically saved them from destruction. Amen. Yes, wow. That's amazing to me.
Hallelujah.
Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. These angels were sent by God to physically save people from destruction. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. Angels are working today to save you, to save your children.
Amen.
Yes. Because here, Lot and his children were saved. Well, unfortunately, Mama Lot, she is called Lot's wife, she turned around, and we know that she's not going to be saved. She was, yes, that's right, that's right. She also had a real burden for the family that she had left. So if that doesn't blow your mind, watch this one. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Who are the seraphims? Each one had six wings. With twain they covered his face, with twain they covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. These are angels, right? Angelic creatures called seraphims. One cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," and the whole earth was full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. Who was the one that cried? It was an angel that cried. And the posts of heaven were moved, and the house was filled with smoke. Notice. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." After he realized his Laodicean state, then flew one of the seraphims. Who are the seraphims?
Angels.
Then flew one of the angels unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. So he took it from off the altar, put it in his hand. And it says, he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this," not "it will be," "this hath touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Okay, what just happened? Sins were taken away. Iniquity was purged. Through what? An angel. Exactly. He didn't say, "This represents." This says, "This has done this." Your iniquity has been taken away. Your sins have been forgiven because this has touched your mouth. Through my hands. Which is a seraphim. Yes, sir. You're right, and it was the coal that was put there, but how did the coal get there? I guess that's the whole purpose of why I'm bringing it up. And so, yes, it wasn't the angel's hand. It wasn't the angel saying, "I'm forgiving you," but it was God using an angel to bring this to pass for Isaiah, which blows my mind, right? So I hope you all can appreciate this. Nope, can't say the angel forgave sin. Angels don't forgive sin, just like you and I can't either. Yes, sir.
Just keep in mind,
And I think you're right with Revelation chapter 5, where it says they have the incense, wherein is prayers of the saints. That, to me, shows that angels are the ones ascending and descending with the prayers, because they're the ones that are holding the incense and those prayers. So it's really quite interesting. Yeah, and this is part of what has led me to understand better about spiritualism, because I'm still coming from Trinitarianism as a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for many years. And so I'm still coming out of that. And the angels, has helped me differentiate between what is the gospel and what is spiritualism. Right. So yeah, thank you. So now Revelation 18, verse 1, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. What kind of power?
It's great power.
It's great power, but also we're told that it's omnipotent power. You can read that in a letter to the Scandinavians. And that's because they have God's power. It has nothing to do with the fact they are omnipotent themselves. So he has great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. What glory? The angel is the one that comes down from heaven. How does it come down from heaven? Upon the Son of Man, right? Ascending and descending. And so in verse 2 it says, he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And then it says in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye not receive not of her plagues. Mm-hmm. And so the last message that is all three of the first three angels wrapped up together is going to go to the world. How? Through the ministration of an angel that will fill the world with his glory. It is the glory of the Lord, but how? Through the ministration of this fourth angel, you see? And he's the one that cries, come out of her, my people. And I think part of the cry is, get away from spiritualism. Because spiritualism is rampant in almost every denomination out there. And so we need to help people understand that there is not a bodiless, disembodied, ghost-like, just pervading all nature spirit that comes into our hearts. That's not what the Bible teaches. The spirit and the body need to be together, or there is death, according to James chapter 2, verse 26. Yes, sir. I would hope so, yes. If they have hearts willing to search for themselves, they will find the truth. But if they go to the local Protestant church or evangelical church, they will be influenced by spiritualism. Yeah. Were you going to say something here? Okay. I thought you raised your hand. So this is the end of the study. I have one more verse, and this one verse to me has just really been big. Here it is again, Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave to him to show unto his servants, which are the prophets, things that must shortly come to pass. And he, Christ, the one that had it from the Father, sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That verse to me is so huge. It spells out the government of God, how he works for our salvation. And so I think, you know, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Well, what about what Jesus sends as well? You know, how do they work? What do they do? Knowing them personally, not just about them, knowing them personally and how they interact with us is extremely important. Were you going to raise your hand, or did you scratch your ear? Okay. So praise the Lord for this opportunity to study and learn. And if you don't mind, I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers. Is that fair? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to study just this little bit about what it is that the Bible is teaching in regard to your messengers, the angels. We don't want to fall short of your will and your desire by worshiping these angels as John was instructed not to do. We want to worship you as the angels instructed John. We also know that Jesus mentioned to a fallen angel that we are to worship you and, of course, your Son. We pray that you would help us, please, to focus our attention, our worship, our thoughts, our desires toward you in your holy temple up in heaven. And help us also to understand a little bit more about the ministration of your messengers, the angels, so that we can learn to co-work with you and them, your Son. We pray that you please continue to help and guide us, that as we're about to answer some questions or maybe even just think of new things, Oh, I pray that you'd guide us. Thank you for this opportunity, and continue to lead and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.